Welcome back to TechNet Radio. We've hit part 10 in our Building a Private Cloud with System Center 2012 SP1 series, and in today's episode, Keith Mayer and Young Cho discuss how you can protect your newly created private cloud with Data Protection Manager. Tune in as they discuss disaster recovery solutions and performance enhancements, as well as demo for us how to set up and configure DPM for your environment, and then lay out the process for backing up your servers and how DPM integrates with Virtual Machine Manager. Keith, the mic is yours.
Hey there, and welcome back for another episode of TechNet Radio. My name is Keith Mayer. I'm an IT Pro Technical Evangelist at Microsoft in the U.S. And back with me today to discuss our next steps in building our private cloud, I have Young Cho. Hey, Young, how's it going?
Hi, Keith. Hello, everyone. This is Young Cho. I'm a technology evangelist based in Charlotte, North Carolina. Cloud all the way.
All right. Well, Young, we've been going through the last several episodes, building out our private cloud environment so that we can take our IT infrastructure, our virtualization hosts, our storage, our networking, and be able to pull it together into a manageable set of resource pools that we call clouds that we can delegate access out to and deploy and service our applications, keep our hosts up to date. But today we've got a really cool topic. Do you know what that topic is today?
Let me think. I don't know.
It's protecting our private cloud infrastructure from disasters that may occur. Because no matter how well we've planned out our private clouds, disasters are inevitable. And having an effective backup and recovery and disaster recovery solution for our private cloud infrastructure is a key component of what we need to make sure we're planning for when we're building out that private cloud investment that we're making. So today we're going to be talking about a different component of the System Center 2012 Service Pack 1 suite. We've talked a lot about Virtual Machine Manager up till now, but today we're going to be talking about System Center 2012 Service Pack 1 Data Protection Manager. And Data Protection Manager is really a great product. It's been available as part of the System Center 2012 suite, or System Center suite, for years and years now. But with SP1, there's some really cool features that, Young, I think you'll really like, and I know the rest of our IT Pro audience will love, that makes Data Protection Manager a great solution for protecting the private cloud. Now, if you haven't worked with Data Protection Manager before, Data Protection Manager is a System Center component that runs on a Windows server, could be a physical or a virtual server, that is positioned for backing up all of your other workloads that are running throughout your private cloud environment. So those workloads could be inside of a virtual machine running Exchange or SQL or SharePoint or Dynamics or file services or Active Directory. Or they could be the virtual machines themselves, because DPM has the ability to back up using volume shadow copy services, directly back up virtual machines at a Hyper-V host level. But the cool thing is that when we set up DPM for backing up these various workloads, we can have continuous backups running as frequently as every 15 minutes down to our DPM server. And initially what it's doing is disk-to-disk backup. And Young, do you know why we do disk-to-disk backup as our first step?
I'm not sure.
Well, the reason is because we found historically that primarily most of the restorations that are needed in IT Pro environments are from data that's relatively recent and data that may only involve a portion of an overall data set. So by doing disk-to-disk backup initially, locally, in our environment, we're ensuring that we can do very quick restores for those most common restore scenarios. But at the same time, if we have an overall site-wide disaster, we want to make sure that that backup data is living elsewhere as well. So DPM allows us to do online snapshots to other disk locations. It allows us to replicate what it's doing to a disaster recovery site with another DPM server. It allows us to stream off to tape our backups and have those tapes go off-site. So a lot of flexibility. But this series on TechNet Radio is all about the cloud, so one of the new features that DPM also offers is cloud backup. It can leverage Windows Azure storage out in the public cloud as an alternative to tape or a replicated set of disk or a replicated DPM solution somewhere else in our DR site, so that when we're doing our disk-to-disk backups initially, we can have a set of those disk backups get streamed off to the cloud up in Windows Azure, sitting on really inexpensive Windows Azure cloud storage in an encrypted state that only we as the customer, we as the IT pro that's managing it, have access to, so that we have a lot of security around that data that's sitting up in the cloud as well. Well, that's a pretty cool feature in Service Pack 1, but there's some other really nice features about Data Protection Manager in Service Pack 1 that center around backing up Hyper-V hosts. You know, in Windows Server 2012, Young, we introduced a lot of new Hyper-V features around where we can store Hyper-V hosts and how we can manage Hyper-V hosts. We introduced features like being able to store Hyper-V hosts on remote SMB file shares that are living on a Windows Server 2012 file share cluster or on an individual remote file server. And during our foundational episodes early in the series, we looked at a lot of configurations involving using Windows Server 2012 file continuously available scale-out file shares as a cost-effective storage component for storing our virtual machines. Well, DPM in Service Pack 1 completely supports 100% backing up virtual machines live that are living out on a remote Windows Server 2012 file share. In addition, there's been some huge performance increases in backing up Hyper-V hosts. Do you know how much quicker we can back up a Hyper-V host with Service Pack 1 of DPM, Young?
I don't know.
Twice would be pretty good, wouldn't it? Actually, from the testing that the product team has done, as much as 900% faster.
Wow.
What do you think of that? Pretty amazing, huh?
Wait. Let me do it again. Wow!
900% faster. And in order to achieve that, we've redeveloped some of the components that live in our DPM agent down on our Hyper-V hosts and on our remote SMB file shares. The DPM agent now includes a DPM filter driver that runs down on those hosts. And as changes are being made to the blocks of data inside virtual hard disks that are stored locally stored on a cluster, that DPM filter driver is recording all of those blocks that are changing, so that when a backup occurs, it already knows, without having to scan through your virtual hard disks, it already knows which blocks have changed and can immediately back them up. In addition, to help speed things up and reach that 900% improvement in backup speed, we also have the ability with DPM to do parallel backups of virtual machines. Whereas in prior versions of DPM, it was a sequential process, backing up one virtual machine after the other. Now, another feature that DPM directly supports in Service Pack 1 that's Hyper-V related is live migrations. Live migrations, now that Windows Server 2012 supports multiple concurrent live migrations, either inside a cluster or between standalone hosts or between clusters, a lot of times what you may find is that when you back up a virtual machine, the next time you go to back that up, it might have been live migrated over somewhere else in the network. Well, DPM can actually interface with Virtual Machine Manager 2012 Service Pack 1 so that if it goes to back up a virtual machine and it's not sitting on the same host that it was originally on when it last backed it up, it'll shoot a quick query over to Virtual Machine Manager, ask where that virtual machine is now living, and then reconnect to the host that's now hosting that virtual machine after a live migration. So some really cool features in Service Pack 1 of DPM 2012 that really give us the power to manage protection and backups of our private cloud infrastructure in ways that no other solution out there can provide. What do you think about some of those new capabilities, Young?
Keith, you know, you really should not architect any solution without a backup, a business continuity and disaster recovery solution.
Definitely.
And now we're really moving into the guts of the cloud computing. And now with the DPM, it can back up to the cloud. I was like, wow. And then when you said, well, when the machine's being live migrated out, it will query the VMM to find out where the machine is. And I go, wow, And however, with that being said, Keith, you know I like you, right? But you've been talking a lot so far. All right, give me some actions. Give me some actions.
Let's switch over to our demo and take a look at this together. So, Young, here we are in the System Center 2012 Service Pack 1 Data Protection Manager console, and I am over on the management application workspace. That's where I typically go first to get things set up, because from the application, from the management application workspace, I can deploy my agents out to the hosts that I wish to protect. And so you'll see I've got a couple hosts that I've already deployed agents to. But in order to deploy a DPM agent out to the remainder of my hosts, I could just click on the install button up on the ribbon bar and step through the process of installing agents out to all of the computers that I wish to protect inside my private cloud environment. So I can just shift click or control click, select the ones I wish to protect, add them into the list, and then step through the process of pushing those agents out. Real easy, straightforward process for getting our agents out there. Once the agents are out on those host computers, you'll see that we've got the protection agents listed on each of our hosts, and they're in an OK communicating status. They are listed right now as unprotected computers because we haven't yet backed them up. We haven't put them into what DPM calls a protection group to make sure that we're getting regular backups of those hosts and the virtual machines that they're storing, but that's something that we'll do together today during our session. The other piece that we need to give DPM is one or more disks or pools of disk space that we can allow it to use for maintaining those disk-to-disk backups. And so you'll see I've got a storage pool, a DPM storage pool that I assigned. I just added that in. It was just a raw set of disks that I added into my DPM server. I didn't format them and try to use them for any volumes, because when I add them into DPM, it's going to manage all of the disk space, all of the raw disk space itself for storing its disk-to-disk backups. So we need to have at least one storage pool that we can back up to. And then when we're taking those disk backups and moving them off-site, we've got a couple options. Certainly we can add tape libraries in. If we had a tape library in our environment and we're using that process of spinning off to tape, but I find that, you know what, a lot of IT pros just don't see value in managing lots of tapes anymore. It's a hassle. They're prone to mechanical failure. They're limited in capacity. So the new feature that we have, one of the new features that we have in Service Pack 1, rather, is online backups as perhaps an alternative or a complement to tape-based backups. The online backup capability leverages our Windows Azure storage service that's been up and operational across our global set of data centers across 84 countries worldwide. And in order to get started with that, you can actually sign up for a completely free trial subscription of Windows Azure Online Backup. It'll give you actually a 300 gig allotment of disk space to play around with for testing with DPM and Windows Server 2012 for doing the backups. If you're interested in getting started with that, when you're on the online area in your management workspace, you can click on Manage Subscription. Manage Subscription will open up a web page that'll ask you to sign up for the online backup trial. And once you've signed up, you'll sign in to the Windows Azure Online Backup Portal. And it'll show you your storage quota. So we've got 300 gig of disk space to play with for testing. So far in mine, I've used 9 gig. And what we need to do is we need to download and install a online backup agent that's going to work with DPM to establish that secure connection out to Windows Azure Storage. So the first thing that we would do is we download and install the agent. I'll go ahead and click on that. It'll download an installer, save that off, and run it. After I've installed that agent, I then need to shut down and restart my DPM console. And when it comes back up, and I go back to this online area in my management workspace, it'll know that the agent is installed. It'll see that, and it'll give me a couple other options for registering my agent as a new connection into Windows Azure. I've already done that here. or configuring or reconfiguring an existing connection to Azure. So if we click on my Windows Azure Online Backup subscription and click Configure, you'll see all of the settings that I specified when I was initially registering this connection in DPM. So if I need to use my DPM server needs to use a proxy server to get out to Windows Azure on the Internet, we can complete our proxy server information. In my case, my DPM server has a non-proxied Internet connection, so I can leave those settings blank, click my Next button. Now I can also enable internet bandwidth usage throttling for backup operations that DPM is trying to do. So that if I'm concerned about DPM using lots of bandwidth during work hours on my internet connection, I can set different work versus non-work hour throttle limits and then define which days of the week and times of day are work hours. So that's a really nice feature if you're trying to share a single internet pipe with end user access during the production hours of your business, and at the same time also trying to get a good backup. So you can allocate but not over allocate an amount of internet bandwidth for DPM to use that doesn't impact your users. Now, in addition, as you're configuring online backup, you do need to specify a file folder path as a recovery folder path. The recovery folder path that I've used in this case is a separate volume on my DPM server that I've created a folder on called Azure Recovery. And the idea is that as I'm restoring from my cloud backups, for the largest item that I'm trying to restore, I need to make sure that I have enough disk space in this recovery folder, because it'll use this recovery folder as a temporary staging folder that as I restore from the cloud, it'll first copy from the cloud back into my recovery folder each of the items that I wish to restore, and then it'll restore them across my network from the recovery folder. That way it gives me the ability to very quickly pull things down and recover them locally on my network without having to manage the whole end-to-end process inside and outside my network environment for managing that restore process. So I've got my recovery folder set up. I can also specify an encryption passphrase. So I can either type in an encryption passphrase or have DPM generate a passphrase for me. The encryption passphrase is used to encrypt all of the data that's being sent up to Windows Azure storage, so that not even the Microsoft employees that are maintaining the Azure data centers have access to the clear text data that you're backing up. This encryption passphrase is your key for being able to encrypt and decrypt that data to and from your individual DPM server to protect the critical data that you're sending up to Azure. It is an important setting, so make sure that when you set an encryption passphrase, you do copy it to your clipboard and save it off someplace secure, the same places that you would probably save off your domain admin password information and enterprise admin password information, because if you lose the passphrase, you won't be able to decrypt the data that's stored out on Windows Azure. So this passphrase is incredibly important because of the amount of security that we're ensuring over the data that's being backed up. So you can go ahead and copy that to your clipboard, store it someplace safe, maybe in a physical safe, perhaps, within your IT department. Once you're all done, you can click Finish, and it'll apply all of those settings to your newly registered Windows Azure Online Backup connection. So, we've so far stepped through the process of getting our DPM console set up for being able to back up a set of agents to a disk location, and then take that disk location and be able to stream it off to either an online location or a tape library location. Young, so far, has the setup made sense to you?
Absolutely. Now, I just want to say that, are you saying if I sign up the Windows Azure trial, I can get this capability at this time?
You sure can. Yep. If you go out to that Manage Subscription link that is behind this Manage Subscription button, when you sign up for a Windows Azure Online Backup free trial, it is a separate trial from our main Windows Azure trial. It's available today for providing up to 300 gig of disk space for testing with DPM or Windows Server 2012 backup natively in order to back up to the cloud and test the scenarios in your environment.
And I guess DPM is part of System Center, so I can also get the bits and actually test this whole thing out.
Absolutely. Yep. So if you don't have DPM in your environment yet, you can go out to either Young's blog or my blog and find the link for downloading the complete System Center 2012 Service Pack 1 suite.
That's great.
Great. Well, now that we've got DPM up and configured for the agents we want to back up and the backup locations, let's go ahead and step through the process of backing up one or more of our servers. Well, we define backup policies in DPM by creating multiple protection groups for each collection of hosts that we wish to back up. And we do all of that over on the protection workspace in the DPM console. So I'm going to click over on the protection workspace, and you'll see that it actually prompts us a little bit in the center here. It tells us that nothing's being backed up yet because no protection group has been created. And before we start protecting data, we want to go through the steps that we previously just went through of adding disks, installing our agents, installing the tape library, signing up for Windows Azure Online Backup if we wish to use that in lieu or in complement to a tape library. And once we've got all those steps done, we can start scheduling things to get backed up by using our new protection group button on the ribbon bar. So I'm just going to click on the new button, and that will step us through a wizard that will allow us to select the particular hosts or virtual machines that we wish to protect. So that launches the Create New Protection Group wizard, and it'll give us a little bit of an introduction that DPM is going to create a replica of the selected data sources on the DPM server. It's then going to synchronize, as part of being in this protection group, the replica with the original data sources on a recurring schedule that we define. And that once that disk-to-disk replica is created, disk-based, tape-based, and online protection can be spooled off-site from DPM so that we have the ability to maintain our offline or off-site copies of that data. So I'm going to go ahead and click Next. It'll ask us, are we backing up servers or clients? DPM, in addition to backing up your private cloud infrastructure, can also be used to back up clients that you have on your network. Particularly, it's handy for people that have laptop or desktop environments where data is being stored locally on those laptops or desktops. In our case, though, we're backing up servers within our private cloud. So I'm going to click the Servers Radio button and click the Next button. And then we'll see a list of the available data sources, the available servers that we installed agents on so far to back up. So you'll remember in our management area, our management workspace, we had installed agents on a couple of servers in our fabric, one of our Hyper-V hosts and one of our VMM and our VMM management agent, or management server rather. We also have our local DPM server that we'd want to make sure we're backing up as well, particularly the database on that DPM server, because that would be needed when recoveries are performed. In order to select a particular data source to back up, we can just expand out one of these hosts. So I'm going to expand out my Hyper-V host that we installed the agent on. And we can back up everything on that host, or we can drill down just to particular virtual machines that are currently residing on this host. Now remember, DPM can be plugged into VMM, so even if these virtual machines live migrate elsewhere, DPM will automatically switch over to one of those other hosts, assuming we had previously installed the DPM agent on that host. So you can see here we've got our various virtual machines that are running on that host. We can check one of them or multiple of them, or we could check everything. We could even back up at a volume level on the host. And once we've selected everything that we wish to add into a protection group, that'll come over and be listed on our selected members. When we click Next, we can give our protection group a name. So we'll say that this is a protection group for our blog engine web application service, and it allows us to then define our protection method. So we saw that normally we'd want to use short-term protection doing disk-to-disk backup. If we're using short-term protection to disk, we can do online protection to the cloud as well, assuming that we've previously registered with our Windows Azure Online Backup trial. So I'll leave both of those checkboxes selected. If I also had a tape library in my environment, I could also check the box where I want long-term protection using tape as well. Now, in my case, my tape options are disabled because I don't have a tape library currently installed. But you can see I can mix and match these three locations and be able to choose a very detailed and complementary strategy that satisfies my short-term needs, my off-site needs, as well as very long-term retention needs that I might still wish to use tape for. Once I've selected my backup destination options, I can click Next, and now it'll ask me for my short-term recovery goals. This is for the initial on-premise disk-based protection. So I can say, hey, for my stuff on-premise, I want to make sure that I can quickly restore from backups that have occurred in the last 5 days or so. So I can set my short-term retention policy for my on-premise disk-based protection, and I can set my backup schedule. So I can set it to be multiple times throughout the day. I can set it to be multiple days throughout the week. Each time, in this case, DPM is going to take a snapshot of just the data that's changed and bring that across and merge that in to the existing backup copies, the existing full backups that have previously been taken. So I'll go ahead and leave my default backup schedule and say 6 p.m. every day, but I can certainly do multiple backups per day. Click Next. And now I've got for my short-term disk retention policies, I've got some ability to now review how much disk space and how I want to handle those disk space allocations. So what DPM did is it looked at what I'm backing up, it looked at my short-term retention goals, and it's made an estimate that said, well, the total data size today is 13.5 gig, but I recommend that we allocate 25 gig so that we have room for storing the changes that occur on this virtual machine over the next 5 day period on a rolling 5 day increment. But if we wish to use more or less, we can always modify and specify exactly how much disk space we wish to pre-allocate. I also have the option of automatically growing those volumes so that if I need more than 25 gig, it'll start with that, but it'll automatically grow as it needs more. I'll go ahead and click Next. Now I can specify for this disk-to-disk replica, do I want to do the initial replica copy over the network? Or if it's very large, do I want to do the initial replica seeding of this disk-to-disk copy manually using offline media? If I do it over the network, I can do it now, I can do it later, and specify perhaps an after-hours period of time. And the reason we've given this capability is for very large data sets that we're backing up using DPM, that initial replica copy process, it can take a while doing over the network. So we've given you some other options that you can use to either defer it over the network to a later period in time or to do it manually. Remember, once the initial replica has taken place, then the subsequent synchronizations that occur to that replica of your data are just the incremental blocks that have changed, so they tend to be very small from that standpoint. So I'll leave it with the default options and click Next. It also gives me some built-in consistency checking options so that DPM, as it's working with the replicas, we can have it automatically run a consistency check if there's any disk-related issues. If it sees that replica is becoming inconsistent, it can automatically run a consistency check when it sees those problems occurring. Or if you want to proactively run consistency checks on a daily basis, you can actually run a daily consistency check before your backups occur for that day and have it automatically try to self-heal itself. So now that we've completed our short-term disk-based protection configuration, now we move on to looking at where we want to use our online protection. So remember, we previously had set up our Windows Azure online backup subscription in DPM. And because we had that set up and we tagged the option for using cloud-based backup, we can now have one or more of the data sets that we're backing up, one or more of those selected members that we initially said we want to do the disk backup of, also getting backed up and protected online on Windows Azure Storage. So I'll select the same items that I chose to back up to disk that I also wish to back up online. I'll click Next. And it'll allow us to specify a different retention range for our online protection. So maybe for online protection, I want that to stay online for 60 days, for instance, because I want to be able to pull that back and restore, even if it's outside of that short-term disk-based 5-day protection window that I have for my on-premise location. I can specify when that happens. I can do a synchronization with my disk-based replicas to the online location daily. I can add in particular times. I can do it up to 2 times per day, or I could do the synchronization weekly. So if I am keeping all of my data online on disk for 5 days on premise, maybe at the end of that 5 days, once a week, I want to shoot it out to the cloud as well and retain that for 60 days. So I can create a separate synchronization frequency between my on-premise short-term disk-based replicas and my online protection location. I'll click Next, and now it'll confirm a summary of where I am backing up and how I am backing up. I'm backing up to disk using a 5-day retention policy. I'm backing up every day at 6. I'm going to create the replica now. I'm going to have only one item that I chose to put in my backup. It's going to be retained online for 60 days, and it's going to do the synchronization at 9 p.m. every day of the latest data that it backed up previously at 6 p.m. every day. So you can see with just a few short steps through my Create New Protection Group wizard, I have the ability now to step through that process of making sure that I have short-term protection as well as off-site protection, all leveraging DPM. Well, Young, what do you think? Pretty straightforward process for making sure that our applications in our private cloud are getting backed up?
Well, there's certainly a lot of thinking into it, but I have to say, though, this is pretty amazing because you can now back up to the cloud, you can back up server, you can back up client, and also the protection group, it really is a kind of a very special thing here because within the protection group, you define a lot of things. You define not only the resource consumption, the retention, but also it basically it's also a policy. And by creating individual protection group, you sort of have like a many different type of backup option that you can make it readily available and you can apply to it. So I think this is pretty cool stuff.
Great, great. Well, the last thing that I wanted to show everyone was the integration between DPM and Virtual Machine Manager, because we mentioned that a lot of IT pros are using live migration in their environment, and if we live migrate a VM from one host to another, we want to make sure that DPM can find the appropriate host to connect to when it comes time to back up the contents of those live migrated virtual machines. So in order to integrate VMM and DPM together, we do need to go through a couple extra steps. First, what we need to do is on our DPM server, we need to make sure that we install the Virtual Machine Manager 2012 SP1 console. We can do that right from our Virtual Machine Manager installation bits, the same bits that we use to set up our VMM server. We only need to install the console so that DPM has the API components for communicating securely over to our VMM server and making sure that our VMM that it can query our VMM server for the location of each of the virtual machines that it's trying to back up. So that's step one, install the VMM console. Once the VMM console is installed, then step two is running a bit of PowerShell that's going to set a DPM global property. So the DPM global property that we wish to set is a property called known VMM servers, and then we would point to the name of our VMM server that's managing our private cloud environment. So we'd run set DPM global property, specify the name of our DPM server, and then tell it which VMM server it should be connecting to. Over on our VMM console, we do also need to make sure that the computer account in Active Directory for our DPM computer account object, that that's represented as a member of either the full administrators or read-only administrators role in VMM. That gives the DPM computer account the appropriate permissions to be able to query VMM for the location of each virtual machine, so that it knows which host each virtual machine is running on. Once we've done those few steps, we want to make sure that after executing that first PowerShell command, that we have a service that started on our DPM server. It should automatically start up, but you can certainly check it out for yourself. It's the DPM VMM helper service. So that should be started in a running state. And this is the service component then that DPM would use to communicate with the virtual machine manager server to find the location of each running virtual machine that's been live migrated. After that, we can close and reopen the DPM console. It'll see that connection to VMM and it'll automatically begin using it. Now, while we're talking about PowerShell, there is actually another PowerShell global property that's new in SP1 of DPM that you may be interested in, Young, and that's the global property called Hyper-V Page File Exclusions. This is actually a pretty cool feature that's new in Service Pack 1 of DPM. What it allows is if we're provisioning our virtual machines to have their page files consistently on a separate virtual hard disk, we can tell DPM to make sure that it grabs an initial replica copy of that virtual hard disk when it's initially setting up the disk-to-disk short-term protection, but to ignore it for any incremental replication. Because, after all, from a backup and restore standpoint, it doesn't really make sense to back up your page files because they're just going to be constantly changing. This is another tip that we've implemented in Service Pack 1 to try to help us get closer to that 900% performance improvement we were talking about earlier. So what we could do is if we're provisioning our page files on separate virtual hard disks for each VM, we can give just a simple regular expression that tells DPM, hey, whenever you see a virtual hard disk file that's associated with a VM that has anything as the beginning of the file name, but ends in this case with underscore pagefile.vhd as part of that VHD file name, ignore it for incremental backups that occur. Grab the copy initially, but don't try to do any additional incremental sync operations against that virtual hard disk. It speeds the backup capability and substantially reduces the amount of storage space we need when backing up virtual hard disks. So just another global property that we can set up to help us back up Hyper-V hosts in our private cloud much more efficiently. Well, Young, what did you think of those steps for integrating VMM and getting more performance out of our DPM server from a backup standpoint? Any questions or thoughts along those lines?
You know what? I like that exclusion, that page file exclusion. That's great. You know, it's make it cheaper, make it quicker, and it just make the job easier. And Keith, thank you for sharing that tip.
Oh, sure thing, sure thing. Well, Young, how about any other disaster recovery thoughts or guidance that you've seen working well out in the field? Anything that you've seen working well with DPM or that IT pros have had questions on in regards to compatibility with DPM?
You know, I do have a question because in Hyper-V 3.0 or the Server 2012, there's this new feature called Hyper-V Replica. And so many IT professionals, they are interested in it. So how does Hyper-V Replica integrate with DPM, if any?
No, that's a great question. So for Hyper-V Replica, what I position that as is a online replication solution for doing very quick failovers from your production site to a disaster recovery site where you've got Hyper-V servers already prepped and ready to go. And typically, as part of Hyper-V Replica, you may set up some recovery points as well as those VMs are doing their live replication from your primary site to their backup site. So you might say, you know, every hour for 4 hours, do a recovery point and grab a snapshot effectively, a recovery point that you can fail over to, so you'd be able to recover from logical disasters and whatnot. Hyper-V Replica is a great solution for being able to do really quick failovers site to site. But it's not a replacement for a full backup and restore strategy either, because you may have situations where you need to go back to backups that are older than your recovery points in Hyper-V replica, or you may have a situation that involves a disaster that occurs at both your primary site and your DR site, and you need to still be able to restore from an off-site backup location. So DPM allows you to fit around the benefits of Hyper-V replica and really enhance your recovery strategy so that if you need to restore from older data than your oldest recovery point in Hyper-V replica, you can do that. If you have a complete disaster and you need to go back to your backups that are out in the cloud or out on tape, you can do that as well with DPM. Or if you need to just restore a few files, for instance, so if you need to restore, instead of a whole VM, just a couple of files into that application, you can do that with DPM as well and not have to do a complete failover of Hyper-V replica. So I see a lot of IT pros leveraging Hyper-V replica side by side with DPM to have the best case scenario for each of the different types of disasters they may encounter. Does that make sense, Young?
So with DPM and Hyper-V replica, we can actually have backup in server and client, cloud, on-premise, off-premise. This is great. This makes everything possible.
Yeah, definitely. So in today's episode, we've gone through the process of learning about how we can leverage System Center 2012 Data Protection Manager with some of the new features of Service Pack 1 around backing up to the cloud, around increasing our backup performance by up to 900%, and integrating DPM with Virtual Machine Manager to be able to back up and continue to back up virtual machines even after they've live migrated between hosts. So what do you think, Young? Pretty cool capabilities that IT pros should be investigating in Data Protection Manager?
Amazing. This is amazing.
Great. And if you would like to get started with System Center 2012 and Windows Server 2012 and a lot of our other new infrastructure offerings, I think you'll be thrilled to know that we have a Cloud Lab environment that's built on top of our Windows Azure Infrastructure as a Service platform. The best news of all is that Cloud Lab platform can be free to you for the next 90 days. You can just go out to Windows Azure, sign up for a free 90-day trial. It's a great opportunity because it gives you up to 750 compute hours per month and up to 35 gig of replicated storage on the Windows Azure Cloud to use for spinning up your own lab and evaluation environments for testing out products like System Center 2012, Data Protection Manager, Windows Server 2012, System Center 2012 Virtual Machine Manager, and more. You can go out to our Cloud Lab URL at aka.ms/CloudLab at any point in time and select the particular labs that you are most interested in and just begin walking through those labs. If you need a little bit of assistance as you're walking through those labs, well, you may also be interested to know that Young and myself and our other technical evangelists here in the U.S. are also available weekly in a virtual study hall. The virtual study hall is really an online study hall that we do every week on Fridays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time. It gives you an opportunity to grab your lunch and join us virtually, pick through a set of particular lab activities that you're most interested in around products that are up and coming, and as you have questions, be able to raise your hand and ask those questions live from our expert technical evangelists for assistance. It helps you get started and continue your momentum on moving forward with evaluating our latest infrastructure and management offerings around private cloud. I hope you'll join us next week at aka.ms/virtual study hall. Well, thanks, Young, for joining me today to talk about protecting the private cloud with System Center 2012 Service Pack 1.
Well, thank you. Actually, you're talking. I'm just learning. I'm making a lot of notes. I'm going to go on and try the DPM.
Awesome. Well, that sounds outstanding. And thank you, everyone, for joining us today for a really important topic on protecting our private cloud. I hope you've learned some great information that you can begin leveraging with System Center 2012 Service Pack 1 DPM and potentially leverage Hyper-V Replica and Windows Server 2012 together with that for a very comprehensive, easy-to-implement, private cloud-wide disaster recovery and backup solution. I look forward to seeing you all at our next TechNet Radio episode coming up, where we'll go through the next steps of building out our private cloud environment. See you on the next episode.